I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The roads are fucked, bro. The roads are just mad. Every minute I'm in flipping traffic. I hate it, bro.
It's a joke. It's an actual joke. Sadiq Khan, Rishi Sunak.
Yeah, do something.
All them man are jokers.
Yeah, do something, but they won't.
They've ruined the roads. Sadiq Khan's ruined the roads. He has a war on motorists.
He's what?
He has a war on, there's a thing called the war on motorists.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about it? Google it, the war on motorists. Like, he's the one that's like putting ULEZ and all of these things.
Oh, okay, fair.
Changed all of roads to like 20 miles per hour, the dual carriageways to 40 miles per hour. Like, how's the A406 40 miles per hour with average speed check cameras?
I know. And yeah,
four lanes, but you're going 40 miles per hour. No one walks across these roads.
There's a part of the A40 that is 30 miles per hour, bro. Do you know what is crazy?
Is that the one that goes from like Westfield to Marylebone?
Yes.
That's embarrassing.
It's ridiculous.
It's embarrassing.
And I'll tell you why it's ridiculous, yeah? It's because it was never broken. It was never broken. They didn't need to fix it. It's not like there was bare accidents on that road and this, that, and the fourth and whatever. There was nothing wrong with it, ever.
At all.
And then all of a sudden, they've just changed it to that. And I got a flipping, that was a time when I got, speeding thing. I had to do speeding awareness off
same.
That.
I did that a couple of months ago, but not on that road, but I did it.
Oh, is it, yeah?
And do you know what I hated about it? You go in there, when I did it, there was like 8 people in the speed awareness course. Like, I did it over Zoom.
Yeah,
you did it over Zoom as well. Yeah, there was 8 people in there. And then we're about to start, and then some guy joins it mad late. And then just as we're about to start, he's like, is that Craig?
I
was like, oh. And then the guy that's running the course was like, what? Do you know each other? And then the guy was like, nah. But then when I was looking at the thing, he's like, in his little boxing thing, like, as in saying, like, no, don't worry, like, I'm holding it down. And you know what happened, yeah? I was thinking to myself, what actually happens when real famous people have to do this? Like, say, like, Stormzy or Adele had to go and do one of these and sit in there. Like, they don't do that, do they? Surely.
No, they would have to.
They can't get a private thing and, like, a special.
No.
If I'm Stormzy or one of these celebrities and that happens to me, I'm taking the points.
Yeah.
I'm just taking the points.
Probably.
I'd rather take the 3 points.
And I'll tell you this now. If I'm in the speed and awareness course, yeah, and I see one of them lot in there, I'm screenshotting it. I'm screenshotting it and it's going on the internet. I'm just saying.
No, bro, don't say
I'm
going
to be like, rah. Look how my day started, bro. I'm doing a speed and awareness fucking thing and Madonna's in here.
Imagine.
Could you get what I'm saying?
And the course instructor's like asking questions. Like, oh, what's your thoughts on this? And then Madonna's like, but the maddest thing is you would see her yard in the background of the Zoom would be crazy.
Yeah,
it'd be like halls and everyone else is just like in a like small room. Bro, it was embarrassing, man. And that course was just 3 hours as well.
Yeah, it was. I thought like mine was a bit longer than that.
It's mine was 3 hours, bro. It was dragging.
Did you not have a break? Or did yours go?
Yeah, we had a break. We had a 15-minute break. Yeah. But I remember on that specific day when I did it, it was like boiling. It was one of those hot days in London. So I was just in my apartment like on Zoom doing this court, bro.
You wouldn't be outside. Obviously, everyone knows, friend of the show, Craig Mitch is here, naturally.
Well,
has it been a minute?
Yeah, think it's been a minute.
Been a strong minute.
It's been for quite a few months.
Yeah, yeah. You been all right? You been good?
Yeah, man. I can't complain.
Yeah, man. You're outside. Life's just good. Like, I love, you know what I mean? I tell you all the time. But yeah, yeah, yeah. More time when I tell you here now. Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, yeah. Not personally, but, you know, I love seeing what you're doing and whatever. No,
I appreciate it, man.
Likewise. Ascending, and that's what we're, that's what essentially we're always trying to do. Ascend, keep going, connect dots, and just like, do fulfill a purpose and try and enjoy it in the process. So
facts,
yeah, man.
I think a lot of, I don't know if people know, but it's so mad when I think about that. Like, I met you years ago. I don't know if it was it Jump Off the Bates?
Yes, probably. Yeah, yeah.
So that was like 2011, 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking like 11, 12 years ago, bro. Yeah. So like, even just like, obviously we're in it and we're just working and doing what we're doing, but just to see everyone's journey and like the growth of the scene from when we're having Jump Off Debates on YouTube where no one was making YouTube content
100%
to seeing the kind of industry that there is now and how everyone's making money, everyone's doing things, like, bro, it's actually incredible when you sit back and think about it.
Honorable shout out to Harry and Ara as well from the Jump Off,
yeah,
and big them up every time. We are limited with time today, so we're just gonna get straight to the vibes. We're gonna get straight to it. Do you know what, I'm going to start off by saying this.
Go on.
Little Yachty, come here quickly. Little Yachty, come here. I need to have a conversation with you. I love your relationship with Drake. I actually like it a lot. And I love how free you two are and the connection that you two have together. But you know what? Stay away from this fucking musical side of Drake next time. All right, mate? Stay away from it. I don't want you anywhere near it going forward, okay? Have you got that? No, I'm just
man, stuck it on Yachty.
No, I'm joking. I'm playing. The only reason why I mention that is because I don't even really watch Yachty like that. Anytime I see Yachty, usually is when I see him with Drake of late, yeah? And there's like been a couple of times where I've just seen them just chopping it up or whatever, and I just love the conversations that them two, well, the friendship that them two seem to have.
Yeah.
But I did watch something where he was talking about like this being the greatest thing that Drake was ever gonna do. Yeah,
yeah, I saw that.
And I was never, like, let me be clear, and I'm not saying this in a disrespectful way, but yeah, I was never like holding what Yachty said as gospel.
Yeah.
But it did get me a bit excited because I love Drake, innit?
I think everyone felt like that as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Initial thoughts?
On the album?
Yeah.
All right, when we say initial, do we mean when it dropped and I pressed play and listened to it? Or because we're recording this on a Tuesday, so it's like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, like four days after it's dropped.
Right.
So what do you mean? Initial right now?
Do you know what? No. Okay, let me go a little bit further back. When he dropped the song with SZA, was you extra excited off the back of that?
I didn't think the song was incredible that they dropped. I think when they announced they were dropping that song and they put up that little Halle Berry thing with the slime and whatever,
yeah,
I was gassed. It's Drake and SZA. Yeah, like, we're talking two powerhouses. So I was gassed. Then when the song dropped and he's talking on the intro and it's got that slow beat, didn't really have a hook, I was like, Then the more I played the song, I like the bit at the end where it breaks down doing the whole month thing and then he goes into that whole little Drizzy moment. The song grew on me, but then when I heard the song within the album, I liked it a lot more.
Right.
You know, sometimes that happens.
100%.
You hear the song isolated, but you hear it within the project and you're like, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, the song itself, when it dropped by itself, it didn't get me like super excited for the album. I was really excited because, you know, like, I'm OVO Mitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a Drake fan. I've been a Drake fan. Yeah. Like, anyone that knows me and follow me online knows I'm a Drake fan. Yeah. So I was excited anyway. And I felt like he had something to prove. I felt like he saw what people... Because Drake's someone that sees what's going on online, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
And I felt like he saw the criticisms he was getting for like CLB, Dark Lane demo tapes, which I like, by the way.
I like
that. Honestly, Nevermind the House album obviously got quite critiqued.
Do you know what the maddest thing is? I like that.
I don't like the album. There's songs on it I like though, but I don't like it as an album.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, okay. I do. And do you know what? I actually feel like CLB is a super underrated album. I really like it.
Okay, this is the thing about CLB. It is underrated, but my problem with CLB is there's loads of good music on there, good songs, but it just didn't sound like a cohesive body of work, CLB. So I couldn't figure out really what the theme was on that album, or, you know, when you want things to be woven together and tight-knit so you understand what the vision of the artist was. And the whole build up for Certified Lover Boy was like, oh, I got a heart in my thing. We we thought it was going to be like a real, real theme to it. And then when the album dropped, it just felt like songs were like, you had Knife Talk and then you had like Fair Trade. And then, do you know what I mean? It just felt a bit all over the place. I think everyone wanted just a cohesive, solid body of work that was thematic, that people could understand. And that's why everyone was like really thinking that for this, for the Dogs. Because 100%. Her Loss kind of wasn't like that either. It was obviously him and 21 Savage, just like, it was a collab album and they're kind of like talking about women and that and getting on their, you know, misogynistic type bag. But for the Dogs, we were thinking, give us that cohesive body of work that we ain't had for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think C with CLB, initially, that was probably a bit of my critique as well on that. But like, I think as time went on, I kind of almost pushed that aside and I was just listening to it in the car and it just flowed for me in the whip. Do you get what I'm saying?
It's great music.
When I took away from like what I was probably expecting at the time, also from what I would have liked for him to have done, listening to that, like pushing that away and just listening to it in isolation, away from the noise or whatever,
yeah,
it just like, as time's gone on, I've liked it more and more and more. And I'm like, I think for me, when it is all said and done for Drake, whenever that is, yeah, I feel like for me personally, I will always say CLB is probably Drake's most underrated project for me.
Yeah. Well, I think so, because most of his projects are quite rated.
Yeah, exactly.
And the mad thing about Drake projects is every time they drop, right, every time they drop without fail, he's one of those artists, I think, for whatever reason, maybe it's to do with him as a person or where he's been placed within mainstream and just people's ideologies of him, but he's an artist that is heavily critiqued.
Yeah.
Like, heavily critiqued. I know all artists get critiqued to an extent, but the magnitude in which Drake gets critiqued, and maybe that says something to his greatness. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, 100%. When Messi and Ronaldo were scoring 40, 50 goals a season, when man hit 30 goals in a season, people were like, oh, that's,
yeah, yeah,
they're falling off.
Do you know what?
But that's still better than everyone else.
I heard a quote the other day, yeah, that I loved and I think it will always stay with me. Yeah, and it was, I heard it in the David Beckham doc where the commentator said, he's finding out that the wind blows stronger at the top of the mountain.
Mm.
And I think that super applies to Drake because he's at the top of the mountain. That wind is going to blow. And it's, the thing is, yeah, like, I guess that is to be expected. But I also think at times, and maybe this is a lot easier said than done, but it's like, once you've done, it's undeniable. It's undeniable. At what point do you still pander to that? To feeling as though you have something to prove. And I guess like, maybe the best athletes or the people that like are the most successful are the ones that always find ways to tap into that. And maybe it's a good thing. Maybe they do, you know, find, you know, there's something in that, that keeps them at that level. But at what point do you say, people can say what they want to say about record sales, they can say what they want to say about flows, they can say what they want to say about talk, whatever it may be, or even on a declining one. I remember that was a thing that people used to weaponize Drake with a little bit. He's getting worse. And it's like, well, I didn't like the term worse. Yeah. I never liked the term worse.
Mm.
But it's like, understand, look at all of what this Don has done. At some point, of course, there's going to be a little bit of a decline.
Yeah.
But let's not pander, let's not weaponize that and use that against him, because that is something that is going to, that would happen to everyone in every field. But it's like, he's exclusive to that. It's like, if something doesn't work or it doesn't go well, it's just considered as worse and he's getting worse and it becomes this whole thing. And then I guess like, maybe for him, he feels as though he now has to do something about that. But it's like, you don't have to do nothing about that, bro.
Yeah.
You don't have to do one single... Bro, Drake, I went to a uni thing. I played at a uni thing the other day, yeah? And I was like, rah, the majority of people in here are about like 18, 19, 20, might get a 21-year-old or whatnot. You know, like they're pretty much, their most of their life has featured Drake.
Mm.
Like... most of their life,
yeah,
from when they was all 5 years old and could understand music, Drake has existed. So to me, I just think like, I just don't feel like he needs to pander to any of that type of stuff. But that goes to like something that I'm gonna elaborate on a little bit later.
Alright, I just think with Drake, right, you've got hip hop purists that never liked him. You know, we know a couple of them.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, you got the hip hop boom bap purists that never liked him anyway. And they didn't like even Kanye because these were artists, hip hop artists, that was changing hip hop sonically.
Yeah, of course.
So it was all about lyricism before. Then you've got Kanye, and then you've got Drake, who's almost like a offspring of Kanye, who is making singing rap now.
Mm.
Half rapping, half singing, rap that can go in the pop charts, that's palatable for a much bigger audience.
Mm.
And people felt like they were diluting hip hop and rap. And Drake, I feel like, has always been level with that criticism because he's a hybrid, isn't he? He's like a Prius.
Mm.
He's been a rapper and singer equally his whole career. If you listen to So Far Gone, it's half singing, half rapping. Mm. Family Later, same. Take Care, same. Mm. Nothing was the same with his probably his most hip hop album, and there was still a lot of singing songs on there. So on and so forth throughout his whole career. So I feel like there's a lot of people within rap, especially people that are from the streets that love street shit, that's always seen him as soft, corny. Do you get what I'm saying? A bit cringy, crying for girls, you know, stereotypically light skin.
Mm.
That I think I've always just wanted to see him decline anyway. And the fact that we're like 14, 15 years into his career in the mainstream level, and he still is like up there and spoken about as, like you said, at the top of that mountain. I think there's a lot of people out there that are just a bit resentful.
They hate it.
Yeah, they're hating. I think
There's no prospect that looks like they're taking this over, by the way.
Nah, but that's the thing. I think that's why people are a bit frustrated as well, because I think they're looking at it like, maybe if he dropped off 4 or 5 years ago and was not at the top and was floating around here, then we could just begin to be a bit less critical of his music. But because he's still up there, he's still breaking the numbers, his album dropped, it's going to go number one, it's going to do 450,000 first week. No one's doing that in America like that within rap. Some people are like, oh, when is this going to end? Like, I honestly think people believe that. But I'll be real, the music has definitely dropped off in quality, Chucky. 100%. It's definitely dropped off in quality. 100%. I'm a Drake fan and I can admit that. Like, it's dropped off in quality. But I also think that's because, one, he's trying to cater, which he shouldn't do.
Mm.
He's trying to cater to such a massive audience.
Because
when you listen to this new album, there's like a Future sounding song with Daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Yachty song, Another Late Night, which is that kind of bag. Then you got like an R&B bag. Mm. Then you got a Latin bag with Bad Bunny. Then you got
horrible.
The Miami strip club music with Sexy Red. And that there's just too, you're trying to cover too many bases.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we feel like you're at the point in your career where you're such a certified legend
you don't need to do that.
You can just go make that laser focused
100
genre R&B project or rap project, and the culture will celebrate it, and it might not crazy dominate the charts, but you don't need to.
Right,
you're fully gone. You're a legend now.
You're taking the words out of my mouth.
But
go.
But I think Drake reached a fork in the road a couple years ago in his career where he said, "Either I go that route and do an age and be an artist that's aging and maturing with my audience." Like when I'm in my 30s now. When I first started listening to Drake, I was in my early 20s. Like I either go with them and mature with them, or I play the relevancy game and stay relevant with the younger fan base. And I think years ago he chose that side of the road.
I think, and that's interesting because also I think that is something that a lot of people do find themselves doing anyway, it within music. But then you can make a lot of money from, this is not aimed at Drake, by the way. So let me take Drake out of it and bring him back in. You can make a lot of money doing that. You see, once that thing dies, you end up dying with that.
Mm.
And then that thing that then becomes back in again, because remember, these things usually just go around in cycles. It's like, you've died with this thing. The thing that you naturally were is now in, but you can't go back there now because everyone knows you for this. I think the fortunate thing for Drake, yeah, is that he's had such a long career that he can play both sides. He can do whatever it is that he wants to do.
He's in rarefied air, man.
But I'm curious to find out or like want to know exactly where his true happiness is. Right. Like if he wasn't going to be critiqued in this way, yeah, even though he'd get critiqued regardless, if he wasn't going to get critiqued, hypothetically speaking, where would he go? What would he actually do? If it wasn't a factor of like pandering to the younger lot to sell records or to do whatever, like what would he actually do? Like where does his happiness actually really lie? That's where I'm curious from. But anyway, when I listened to the album, yeah, I remember like I pull it on naturally. I think like everyone, you know, you're hearing, was it Virginia Water or whatnot?
And man, I'm said thinking, Virginia Water, Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach, that's it.
Man said Virginia Water. You know who's from Virginia? You know who's from Virginia Beach as well, innit?
Yeah, 100%. Okay,
okay. So not Virginia Water.
Well, nah. I know a girl from Virginia Water still, but which is what we got a Virginia Water here. You know that it's by Slough, isn't it?
Oh, crazy!
By Slough, yeah. That's probably what I was in my head. But I thought he was coming out on smoke, bro.
Wait, before you heard this?
Before I heard it.
Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah.
Intro as well.
Yeah. I thought he was coming out on smoke. Maybe
Pusha T's hometown.
100%. That's Mind Games though. I think he still did that.
It's a
pump
fake. It is a mind game thing.
Yeah, it's a mind game thing.
But on another song on the album, he said, I can't remember what song it is, but he said, I can go Virginia, but you know you can't come around here. Do you remember when he said that or something? Like there's always a little something.
But even then, to be fair, like obviously I like to see them two go back and forth. But at times I'm like, nah, like just good, like make it someone new now.
I love it.
I do like it anyway.
I love it. I could go forever for me.
Okay, fair enough.
I love it. I love subliminals.
I enjoy them still. But I was like, in my mind, even though I felt like he was gonna go, he was gonna like be on smoke. In my mind, I'm like, oh, you don't need to start your album going at my man. But fair. I think didn't he start, am I going wrong?
Free Smoke or one of them? Was it Free Smoke or?
I don't want to get this wrong, but he started on Scorpion. How did that start? Because I remember.
All of this disorder, no address, and the crown is broken in pieces and survival? There's more in my possession.
Yeah, it's survival.
Yeah.
He starts and he's there then. He's like, I was gonna.
Man, I thought about it.
Right. But anyway, so I was like, he's kind of done that already, but I'm here for it still.
Yeah.
Then he started it with the whole singing thing and whatnot. I'm like, all right, cool.
I'll be honest, a lot of people weren't like it. I like that song a lot. When I first heard it, I was thrown off. Because like you said, I heard the beat and the beat was sounding cold. It was building.
The beat's hard.
It felt cinematic. Yeah, Frank Ocean hard. Sample comes in. I was like, oh my God, we're getting Tuscan Level Part 10.
Mm.
It's going to go crazy. Yeah. How much time is this nigga spending on the intro? I thought it was going to be one of them ones.
Then
I hear him go, lean in. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But when I went back to it, I like how he approached it as well, Chucky. I don't even like it. Have you gone back and listened to it since?
I have. I was listening to it today as well.
And you still can't get into it?
I can't, bro. This is the first, I'll be honest with you, this is the first album from Drake that like, I listened to it and then I just never went back. It took a couple of days for me to go back.
The album?
Here. The whole album, bro.
That must be where you are.
Bro, I listened to the album and I remember thinking to myself, is this still going on? That was a genuine thought for me. Is
that's
this still
be the mindset that you're in right now or something, bro?
Absolutely not,
bro. It's too many R&B dances, bro. This is what's happening. You're in a different mindset.
No, not at all.
You're around 90s quality music too much, bro.
I mean, to be fair, I'm listening to a lot of K-Trap at the moment still, privately.
Oh, wow, okay.
But even then, I'm always ready for Drake, bro. I'm always ready for Drake.
Yeah.
So anyway, like this is the first time I'd listened to it and I was like, there was a part, where I genuinely thought, this is still playing. Like the album's still going.
Like, you're getting bored.
I was getting bored.
Wait,
bro.
Did you listen to the album all the way through?
Yes.
The 23 tracks.
Yeah.
Do you do the thing where you don't interrupt or wheel?
No,
or
so what? The only time that I did wheel, I found myself finding it difficult to get past the J. Cole record.
I was there rewinding it, boom.
I was there doing all of that, and then I was like, all right, cool. Like, let me carry on. Like, I'm just chilling, listening to it or whatever. I didn't do the thing where as soon as it came out, I'm lying there listening to it because I'm not in the mood for that. I'm never in the mood for anything in the morning, usually, really. Even sex, to be honest with you, sometimes. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I love a morning sex.
Oh, do you? Nah, I'm not even. Nah. Love a morning I'll do sex. It for the culture, but.
Just turn on the side strokes and nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to jump up and do the most, just quick spoon stroke.
What, and then just get over and done with?
And then, yeah, man, my day started. I like that strongly.
I just do it for the culture. It's not nothing else.
Because you can't even really kiss as well. It's like.
Yeah, that's why. And I like it. I like kissing. So there I'm
so
like.
So if I love a boy, this is the CLB right here.
So when I can't do that, I'm like getting all in the neck and that. Like,
I hear you. You're trying to, you're your breath, so you're trying not to. But that's why I like a spoon from behind. But anyway.
Yeah, I hear that still. But yeah, anyway, so boom. Like, that was a thought for me. And then I thought, I was not mad. When I listened to it and I felt like I didn't love it. Obviously, I listened to it again.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad at the fact that I didn't like it. Because I didn't like it.
Why as a whole, if I'm being honest with you. What would you mean you wasn't mad at the fact?
Because you know what? Like, maybe I'm too nice. Maybe I'm too nice, but this was my perspective. Drake has been musically a part of my life for a large chunk of it.
Yes.
And for a large chunk of it, I've loved it. I've loved so much different elements of it. And I've gone to so many of the different like shows and like, I've got so much emotional connections to like his music, his projects, his like, it's so much of it has lived with me.
Yeah.
So I can't now be mad after all of these years that he's given me something that I don't like. Mm. I can't be. My main thought was, as soon as I finished listening to it, I thought, you know what? I am not the demographic for this. I felt, this is just in my mind. I was like, I'm not really the demographic for this, and it's fine. Like, it feels like I'm gonna probably go and check my dad. My little brother lives with my dad. I'm gonna go there, and he's 17 years old, and he's gonna be gassed about this, yeah, this project. And we're gonna probably talk about it, have conversations about it and whatnot. And I know that when me and my brother have this conversation, I'm gonna come away from that conversation thinking, rah, like imagine this Don has been a part of my life this whole time. And now I got a 17-year-old brother who's looking at him almost the same way that I did at a certain point. And I just think,
I'd be surprised if that was the case though. Maybe, obviously, you know your brother, I don't know.
Maybe not, I don't know, yeah. But if that is the case, I would just think that is like sensational. However, for me, I'm like, when you have listened to an artist for such a long time, you either consciously or subconsciously are growing with that artist, yeah? And I listened to this and I felt like, okay, it sounds like he doesn't want to grow with me anymore. Mm, yeah. He wants to do that,
yeah,
and be with them. And if that's the case, then that's fair. But for me, this is just not for me.
Okay, that's fair. Let me say this. If we recorded this podcast on the weekend, my take would be so different from what my take is today.
You love it,
man. But we have to, no, whoa, love's a strong word. Love is a strong word. If we're talking about his catalogue, it still ranks quite low within the catalogue for me. However, with every day that's going past, I'm liking this album more and more and more. And this is the Drizzy effect that always happens with people. And the moment it starts turning, because I've already seen a couple people tweeting online or Xing or whatever we call this app now online, saying, oh, Drake's album's getting better. And I'll be looking at people's replies or quote tweets and they're like, see, look, they're starting now. They're trying to act like... I remember that clip Jay-Z did on The Breakfast Club years ago when he talked about these first day reviews, second day reviews, 1 week reviews of albums. We're not even talking about singles or EPs here. We're talking about albums that people have put weeks, months into, and not just one person. We're talking about engineers, beat makers, producers, A&Rs, writers, all these people have come together. You know, you've worked in music, sat down for hours, tweaking things, doing all of this, and then people slap on a project, listen to it once and go, yeah, dead. How can that make sense? You have to live with something, and this is why I'm gonna start getting onto some of you out there. Everyone's entitled to their music opinion, and this isn't exclusive to Drake, by the way. But some of you out there, especially you lot on Twitter, and it's pissing me off, right, are giving music reviews and critiques, and you're not even listening to the music properly. 100%. So what I mean by that is, some of you don't have a gym membership, so you don't even listen to it in the gym. Some of you don't even drive. You don't have a car, so you're not whipping around hearing it in a car. Of you don't even go clubbing, so you're not out in those environments taking it in the club.
Right.
All you do is, this is what you used to do now. The album drops. Take out their phone, some people.
Yes.
Play it, and they're listening to it on their...
On their phone!
How the fuck are you gonna get the Sonics from listening to this on your phone? Or even if you've got speakers, nice speakers, you're sitting in your house playing EAFC, whatever it's called now, or GTA.
Keep going.
Playing it, playing a computer game, listening in your yard, or you could just be cleaning your yard. Some music is built for multiple different environments. 100. So I can tell you, as someone that drives and drives a lot, some things in the car just slap differently.
Absolutely.
And hit differently. They're designed for different environments.
100%.
You could listen to this song here, doesn't slap. Listen to this song in a different room of mine. You go in the gym, a song like Daylight on Drake's album. Uh-huh. Very future sounding, by the way. It sounds like he's doing a future tribute, like, I'll be real. But in the gym, I was going mad.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of Heights.
Oh, look, I know the track list.
Oh, yeah, Fear of Heights.
Fear of Heights. No. I'm not stumbling on the track list. I know the track list.
Okay.
He's going mad. I've dissected this album, bro. So there's people that ain't dissected the album, ain't lived through it, whatever. And then they're going to try and have a conversation with people that are really taking it in. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't even know what the theme of the album is. I know what the theme of the album is. I found out what the theme of the album is. It's all surrounded by vacations. This whole album is about him going on multiple different vacations with different women or with his boys and what goes down on those vacations. It's like, that's the theme of the album. All of these different bad holidays or trips he's had or good trips he's had. That's what this album's about. And then there's this underlying theme of Bark Radio. It's like a little ghost radio station. You know, you got Snoop Dogg going B-A-R-K Radio. You got Sade, which was mad on a song saying B-R-A-K Radio. Like, there's a theme under. However, I still don't think it's one of his best bloody to work.
Yeah, because I was just about to say this. Come here a minute, mate. You said all of that, but I still don't like it.
I hear it.
And I'm, listen,
and I'm not mad at anyone that ain't heard it.
Yeah,
but I'm more mad at people just giving quick reviews. No, that's my problem. Bro,
this is why we're here days later.
Yeah.
I record on a Friday. We could have sat here. Anytime an album, I say to Poe as well, album comes out or whatever, am I not talking about it on Friday?
Especially a big album.
Yeah, exactly. And more time I would have listened, sometimes anyway, I would have listened to it before I've got here, but I want to live with certain things, especially with certain albums or whatever, or certain artists, I need to do that. With this, I'm like, I hear all of that, but I can't help the way that I feel when I listen to it.
Yeah, I'm used to feeling,
bro. For me, it just was, and I wanted nothing more but to come here after a whole weekend of driving around, listening to it in different dynamics or whatever, and like turn around and say, do you know what? Nah, in essence, I actually like it, but I don't. And the thing is, I don't, and it's fine. It's actually cool, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not using that against Drake. Sometimes I was seeing like, there was one thing that I saw online, yeah?
Go on.
Where this Don's come up with this big, major think piece, on the Friday, yeah? And then someone
on
said-
On the Friday.
Big, like loads of, there was like, you know, like bare tweets.
Bearing in mind, it dropped at 11 a.m. on a Friday as well, right, which
but he
is
was
late.
He was, I think he was in New York. So anyway, yeah?
Yeah.
Just like threads. Then someone said, bro, like, just live with it for a little bit. Just live with it. Then he said, oh, I've heard the album 4 times already. Big man.
How?
It's impossible.
How?
By minutes, by the time that this whole thing, dropped this, there's no way you listen to this 4 times.
Yeah, you know what we call
it.
That's Twitter math.
Huh?
That's Twitter math.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got all this boy math, girl math. That's Twitter math.
And who listens to albums? Like, who does that anyway? Like, I might listen to something and I might listen to it again, but I'm not going to sit there with my arms folded and listen to something four times
organic,
to have a think piece.
I
hate all of that.
And plus, it's one thing if we're talking about a 10, 12 track album, Chuck. It's 23 tracks. Yeah, it's like an hour, 20 minutes running time. Like, man, them out here need to stop the cap. I'll be real though. See this album, yeah? I don't think it's a great album. I'm with that. Like, anyone that says that, I understand.
One thing I'll say is,
there's a lot of good music in this project.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of good music in this project. And two, I just think the features for me is actually what let it down. A lot of people are going to say the features were cold. But for me, I just felt like a lot of them just didn't make sense for what Drake is trying to do. Like that Yeet one, you're just, that's trying to be relevant, like Yeet. Like it sonically, it didn't make sense. It doesn't suit you, Drake, your sound. You've just jumped on that because he's popular. Sexy Red, not needed. No. Lil Yachty, I know your boys, not needed.
You see, like you know what he wants to do with the Bad Bunny thing?
Like, Bad Bunny, like this is,
that's a whole business thing. But bro, my main thing was, with this, was that like, this is probably my only super deeper thought on this project, yeah, was that one thing that I feel like I like about Drake at this moment in time is that he seems and comes across, speculation, he seems and comes across super free. He looks as though he's just doing what he wants to do and he looks like he's having a lot of fun with doing that. If he wants to paint his nails, he's going to paint it. If he's going to put shit in his hair, he's going to do it. He's going to go wherever he wants to go. He just, he seems so free to me. And he seems like he's having such a good time in the process of being free.
700 M's will do that, boy.
I hear that still. But when I listened to this project, for me, I didn't feel like I was seeing that freeness in the person that I see outside. I felt like I was seeing somebody who was taking away his freedom and saying, all right, cool. Like, essentially, maybe it's not as simplified as this, but essentially, okay, what have I got to do to for the Young Bucks to like me and to sell some records? And that's not a person who seems free to me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
someone said you're playing a character.
Yeah, 100%. So like, I think I was looking for what you kind of alluded to before, was just like that cohesive level of freedom.
Yeah.
Like, and just seeing exactly where he really was at. And also it being an album that, like, I don't know, maybe might not have sold the most or whatever, but like, it would have been something that people would have looked at and objectively said, do you know what? Even though this might not necessarily be for me, this is actually really good. Like, he's maybe, you know, tapped into the grown folk of himself in, and also mixed that with a big part of his freedom of where he's at right now. So yeah, that was just my main thing.
I think, yeah, I just think...
thing that I will say is, the contradiction to that is that maybe he could easily argue and say, I feel free, that's why I'm doing that.
Potentially, but I think the music doesn't reflect that. Like you said, I think when you're making songs with Yee, Lil Yachty, you're going for this new, young, current sound. I'm not saying artists can't experiment with other sounds. Drake's done that throughout his career. He's jumped on Afrobeats, he's jumped on Bashment, he's jumped on Drill. Some people have called him a culture vulture. Other people said, you know, he's just giving flowers for doing it, whatnot. But even when he did those things before, for me, it just felt a bit more authentic.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And maybe that's because that type of music he was doing was grown anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If he's jumping on Work with Rihanna and he's doing that kind of pop Bashment, it felt grown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're whining in the video, it feels grown. When you do Come Closer, WizKid, it just feels grown. When you're doing Another Late Night with Lil Yachty, have you seen the video?
Nah, I haven't
seen the car spinning with the lights on it, and you got the clips in there. I just think... I think, yeah, at his age, it does feel very young. Like, I think even some people were saying that freestyle we did with Cench on the radar.
Yeah.
Like, him just standing next to Cench, he just looked like a big man compared to Cench. And he is. He's much older than Cench. I just think for Drake, he wants to remain number one. He always talks about these accolades. You know, he said on the song, what did he say at the end of the song with J. Cole? They're asking when this will be repeated. Yeah, yeah. I'm one away from Michael, nigga, beat it.
Mm.
Like, he wants these accolades. And I think he feels like in order for him to get these accolades, he needs to keep the Gen Z on side, because rap is a young man's sport at the end of the day. And it's actually interesting because, like, when you speak to a lot of youngers, like what you were saying about your brother, your brother might turn around when you speak to him and actually say, yeah, yeah, this Drake album, like, Drake's one of my guys. But I actually think 17 to 22-year-olds now are actually looking at Drake as just a legend, GOAT-type figure, how we look at Jay.
Mm.
I don't think they're looking at... Like, if you actually ask them who their favourite artist is, like, I saw a thing with Kai Cenat basically saying how, like, his favourite artist is A Boogie.
Mm.
If you ask someone in our age group, we will be like, oh, A Boogie's good, but he's not. They look at people like this now.
No, I... Do you know
what? This... Dirk,
do you know what's interesting?
Hey, Boogie, bro? These are their goats.
Do you know what's interesting? Playboy Carti. I did a talk the other day at it was at college, but it was school kids, yeah. And I was like using loads of different metaphors and examples of certain things. But in the talk that I had with them, I did ask them. I was like, oh, the point I was making is that there's a people that always want to know what you're thinking, what you're wearing, what you're into, all of these type of things, and it's got monetary value. That was kind of the premise of the thing, yeah. And I was like, anyway. Who are you listening to and who do you like, yeah? Three of the kids said Drake. And I thought, rah. Like, that's like a 14 and 15-year-old saying that. So, I hear you.
Bro,
I hear what you're saying in the sense that, like, they might look at him as a GOAT figure, but so, I think he's still penetrating those youths that are looking at him as, like, their favourite artist.
But there's people that will retrospectively go back and do their due diligence and listen to the old albums and take it in and fall in love with it. Like, I did that. Like, when Tupac and that was out, and Biggie, I was six, so I wasn't taking in their music like that. I had to, when I got in the 2000s, and I was loving 50 and M and that role and whatever... I obviously grew up hearing Tupac and that because I'm my older cousin, but I would have to go back and listen to some of their albums that I never listened to in order to appreciate them because I wasn't listening when they were coming out. When Take Care came out, that was 12 years ago, those 15-year-olds were 3 years old.
Right.
So they couldn't have taken the album in. They have to go and retrospectively
digest the album. Whereas me and you and us, we lived with it. We were outside.
Yeah.
We were young. But they may not do that. Taking it in.
Some of them may not do that. They might just be going forward with him.
Or that. Enjoy that. Oh, yeah, or that.
They could just be doing that.
But what I'm saying is, like, that's why for us, it's like we're here in our 30s. A lot of the people and people I'm seeing on social media in my algorithms, because I don't follow young people like that. Yeah. I've got loads of people complaining, going, oh, Drake, this ain't Drake. This ain't the Drake I know. Why would it be the Drake, you know? Like, that was time ago. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to make that kind of music today. He wants to be relevant with the youngsters. He wants to compete with NBA Youngboy, Playboi Carti. Travis Scott is moving the most units now. He's that guy. He's the one that's selling out shows in Egypt and making people like me go there in my big 30s and he doesn't even show up. It's crazy.
But Mitch, you know what it is, yeah? Even though I agree with what you're saying, and even though he is more than in his right to do that, that is just a bit of my problem with him. It's just like, he doesn't need, he's Drake. He doesn't need to do any of this. He can just do him and he can create and do something fucking, he could just do him. He doesn't need, it's good enough for me. So yeah, that's why, like, in a nutshell, that freedom that I see that he has in his life, which it looks like anyway, the music was almost a contradiction to that freedom. That was the main point. Couple things, yeah. The Rihanna dig. I got a thing on that. You know, like, obviously Drake's sometimes comes across as an antagonist, and he seems like he's very, like, obviously he's outside, he's doing what he wants, innit, yeah? But I do think that he probably hears a lot of things. And I don't think that Drake, after 7 years, how long has it been since Rihanna's been outside? 7-8 years?
Yeah.
Around that. Long time.
And he came out 2016.
And they were dealing with each other God knows how long ago.
Yeah.
I don't feel that Drake wakes up out of his bed one day and just says, you know what? I'm just going to go out Rihanna.
Mm-mm.
I personally think someone said something to him. Whether it is true or not, whether she had said it or not, whether, you know, when you got friends like, no disrespect to my man, but what's his name? Hollywood Unlocked. What's my man's name? The light-skinned brother who's always in everything.
Jason Lee,
yeah. He's really good on Breakfast Club, by the way. But when you got friends like that, because he's always talking about Rihanna and being in her yard that and the other and whatnot, and he's a gossip king.
Of course.
When you got friends like that, it wouldn't surprise me if you're sitting there with ASAP, couple friends, whatnot, say a certain thing, and then he goes off with his mat now. I'm not blaming this on him, but I'm just using an example. He goes off with his mat and then regurgitates a little element of what was said, and then that, before you know, gets passed back to the thing. And then before you know it, a man's come back and said, I don't know why people still think that I'm all, like, head up. What did he say?
Hung up on you.
Yeah. So I'm just letting you know that I heard what you said. Yeah. And I'm not going to just let that fly. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to just talk about it to my brethren. So I'm just going to let everybody know that I just don't feel like you.
I think that's true. That could be true as well. But I also think, you got to remember, when that was first announced, I don't know if you remember online, when it was first announced that Rihanna was pregnant with their first child, not the second one, the first one.
Yeah.
Everyone, there was two narratives that ran online. One was ASAP won, which he did.
Yeah.
He won. He hit the jackpot. He's with a billionaire. He got Rihanna, one of the greatest pop icons of all time. Leng, we all are bad gal, Riri. ASAP, you done it, my bro. We saw the journey of you in Fashion Killer video 10 years ago. 10 years later, you got it. You're hope for all of us. This is like Notting Hill with Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts, but in real life, except ASAP's famous as well. But anyway, he bagged the baddie, right? Cool. But the other narrative was... The other narrative was... Well, back then, I don't know about now. But
the what other... What you say, because two had two youths, that's just fallen off. Are you doing that?
She has fallen off anyway, though.
Anyway,
she has. She's not that. Like, I think Sis is badder than her now. But that's a whole other conversation for another day. I think Sis stepped in her throne. But the other narrative was Drake somewhere crying. Now the memes came out, bro.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with him. Two people have had a child. It's a big thing. It's a big announcement. But the internet still found a way to drag a man's name into. I saw the memes. Drake crying memes, Drake this memes, he's burning, Drake's punching the air right now. They were doing it more for him than Chris Brown. Even though Chris Brown is the guy that we've always associated with Rihanna.
That's true. But you know what we got, because we do have to leave in a minute, but I do want to bring up one thing quickly. It's nearly half past.
Already?
Yes, bro. I know, it's mad.
That's horrible.
What was I going to say? I think that the bar becomes different if there wasn't an undertone. if there wasn't an undertone, he would have addressed it, but he might have been a bit more friendly with it. Like, yeah, he yeah, might have just said, like, something about people thinking that he's still checking, like in my girl, when really he's doing X, Y, and Z. But the vim that he went at sounded to me as though there's an undertone. So you said something, and I've heard that, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Joe Budden, where in what he said did you feel he was wrong, or did you believe that he was
what
right?
Joe Budden said?
Yeah,
I think there was fair critiques in there. I think what I don't like is, and this is gonna sound like I'm just caping for Drake, but what I don't like is,
which you're gonna cape right now. Go on.
No, what I'm gonna say is I'm trying to be as objective as possible. Joe was fair to say what he said. I think I just feel like the tone in which he was saying it, and the attitude he was giving it, like, oh, you're 36, why are you still hanging around with little girls, all of that. Sometimes things are just down to tone, you know. It's not even actually what you're saying. 100%. It's how you say it. You know, as a podcaster, me and you, if we come on this platform here and do what Joe Budden does about certain artists in our scene, no one can tell me they ain't got a problem with that.
No.
Whether they choose to message us on social media like Drake or whatever, or do it behind the scenes.
I say it in a polite way and I still...
There you go. So Joe's on there doing what he does with Drake, and some people are going to go, oh, he's just doing his job as a podcaster, but sometimes it's just about the way you execute it. And I think Drake was within his right as well to clap back. He went a bit mad with the clap back. He basically said, yeah, you're a failure.
I don't think he needed to do all of that still, but listen, you can't...
But I feel like that was the straw that broke the camel's back, though. Possibly, I don't think it was that particular incident.
And that was going to be my point. I think Joe, I actually agreed with a lot of what Joe said. Yep, I felt he was wrong to mention him sleeping with 25-year-olds or whatever else, because I just think... Now, one thing that I don't like here is now you've got a missus that's in her 30s and all these type of things. You're going to be at the top of the hill doing the moral high road thing or whatnot. When before, when you was in yours and you had sin,
you would have posted a child of that.
You, right then. Yeah. And then also, I just think as well that like there was also just the other elements of it that made it a bit personal. But you coupled that with the fact that like this was the same platform that Pusha went on and exposed to you and did this. And like there's a hot, and also Joe spending a decent amount of his podcasting career in terms of highlights and dissing Drake and sub, like it's the straw that broke
and
the
also
camera.
Also as well, like I was saying, I said it to Mimi as well, it's like Joe has favorites.
Yeah,
Jay, like there are Jay, artists. Diddy. I listen to it. There are artists, Jay, Diddy, Kendrick. Even he doesn't really critique certain artists the way he does Drake. So my thing is, if you're going to be objective with everyone and offer pros and cons to every single artist and what they do, their moves and their music, fair enough. But for some, you don't offer no criticism to, only praise. Mm. And then for others like Drake, it's criticism and praise and a mixed bag. So if I'm like a legend in the game and I see you just pandering to other legends, but you don't pander to me the same, then fuck you, innit?
Strong.
Why not? Like, why are they getting favoritism? Like, that's how I would look at it. Like, you're not going to pay my bills. There's no skin off my nose if me and you ain't got a good relationship. So I just feel like, I think Drake went a bit mad. He went a bit harsh.
He did, because he must know now that Joe is going to absolutely milk this to bits. Everyone's going straight to the podcast. He knows this. He loves it. He understands the game.
Of course.
And he will spend an hour talking on his own, beautifully, beautifully putting sentences together. That in the moment, at times, you will feel like, yeah, do you know what? He's probably right. Until you actually dissect elements of what he's saying and you're like, yeah, this sounds a bit mad.
But the thing is, if he starts slating him now on the podcast, it's almost going to make him look bad as well, because you weren't doing that before. That wasn't the energy you was on. And because Drake's done this now you're going to flip your energy, basically, and then go into this mode.
Just to summarize then, yeah, I know it's still early.
Yeah.
But where in his catalogue would you put this project then?
I'm going to put it above... Are we including the playlist type projects? Like, if you're reading this, yes. Dark Lane, More Life, we're including them, not just albums. Just all of them. All of them. I'd say the only ones below it, the ones below it, so you can get an idea of where it is, are Honestly Nevermind.
Okay.
CLB.
Okay, rah.
Dark Lane demo tapes.
I think CLB is better than this.
Dark Lane demo tapes. So I think those three are below it now.
I think those are above it.
Bearing in mind, this is early, innit? Like,
at the moment, this is probably bottom for me.
But below, Honestly Nevermind.
Absolutely. And you know what? Yeah.
Oh, my days.
Bottom sounds like a bad thing.
Yeah.
Really, it's not bad. It's just at the bottom.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. Bruv, there's some
in his catalogue, it's not. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? But yeah.
But we'll find out how this ages.
Yeah, there's still bare things to talk about and whatnot, yeah, but we'll just come back and just pod another day. But because it's been well overdue, my bro.
Come on.
But love always. Yeah, man. Love every time. Thanks for listening, everyone. And in fact, in the comments, yeah, I'm curious to find out what you think about it. In fact, I don't know if I am. I don't know if I am curious to know what you lot think about this one, to be fair.
I'm saying 7 out of 10.
7? I'm gonna go with 7. I'm gonna go with 3.5 for me, you know.
What?
But it might change. We'll see where we are next week. That's a 3.5 Love. According-
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.